Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Like, last night was bad. Like, after that basketball game, I got home.
What time did you go to bed?
8:30. I was just pissed.
And James Strebel.
Because basketball ruined his night.
It ruined my night.
Really? Are you
it
serious?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Oh, goodness. Wednesday. Pat Forty going to join us here in just a second. If you know it's a Wednesday, you also know it's a Witch Wednesday. So a big thank you to Jason and his team bringing by some lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios. Carry out, curbside delivery, they got you covered right now at the Hurstbourne and the Brownsboro Crossing location. Lunch, dinner, your next tailgate, college basketball, watch parties, whatever it may be. And they're fully staffed now, open 7 days a week at both locations. Order online or on the Witch, the Witch app, Witch Superior Sandwiches. Did you grab a sandwich on the way out?
I did.
Oh, well, there you go, because you're never around the station.
I got a little Italian grinder.
There you go.
It was delicious.
That's what we call Nick Valvano.
That is. That's what he is.
It's
a very tasty sandwich.
There we go. So, obviously, Kentucky losing last night. Louisville winning last night. I want to dive into them a little bit more as we go today. Some interesting stuff there. I'm trying not to make too much of the games. It's just, you know, we're talking during the break, and you're watching so much of the same kind of things that you – have been watching the
last few years,
the last couple years, and we'll see where the season goes with the local teams. All right, Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated joins us on this Wednesday at By Pat Forty. If you want to follow him on Twitter, Pat. Good afternoon. Happy college basketball season, sir. How's it going?
Same to you, Andrew. Same
well, good.
To you. Yeah. Glad we got that started.
And I don't know what we did last night. Everything looked the same. Indiana almost lost to a bad team. Louisville looked lethargic for a while, and Kentucky doesn't have the best freshman on the floor any longer. That was what I got from it. Well, Champions Classic, or let's do this. What was your viewing like last night? Were you scanning around to 30 different games? What was going on in the 40 household?
I was mostly locked in on Champions Classic plus football playoff rankings.
Okay.
So that's where I spent most of my time. I flipped over to see Virginia lose, putting up, you know, the usual 58 or whatever they did against Navy.
Sure.
Caught just a little bit of Louisville and a whole bunch of Duke, Kentucky, and Michigan State, Kansas, and college football rankings, college football outrage.
Yes, and of course, we'll talk about that in a second. Of course, you know, when it was a close game, you look down and it's 11:40. Eastern time with Kentucky and Duke, and now I sound old. I'm tired this morning. Everyone around the office is tired for Kentucky starting at 10 o'clock and, you know, Louisville starting at 9:05 last night.
Yeah, you know what? Got to get back in shape for those 9 o'clock tip-offs, or 9:30 as it was about for Kentucky. You know, and again, this is football season. People are more willing to do it. Or basketball season, I'm sorry. Football season, If the games are ending at midnight, I'm not sure people are as interested.
I sound like I'm 100 years old. Well, what stood out last night, Champions Classic? Generic question. Obviously, we can dive in to Kentucky losing. You watch Kansas be really dominant in that second half. A couple big-time freshmen for Duke. We'll see with Kentucky. What stood out for you watching some of the first games of the college basketball season?
Yeah, I was incredibly impressed with Duke. You know, I knew Paolo Banchero was good. But he had a smoothness to his game and a versatility to his game that it was even more impressive. And then Trevor Keels was the revelation. Again, yeah. I mean, he wasn't a nobody by any stretch, but he was dominant and just so physically strong. And he bullied some of the Kentucky guys that tried to guard him, including Ty Washington. You know, I mean, he was just too strong and too aggressive for a lot of them. And I was super impressed with them. It's the strongest, thickest Duke team I can remember seeing. You know, they got a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
Sometimes they look like Matthew Hurt, but not this team. They've got some dudes that can throw people around and control the paint. So, you know, from a Kentucky standpoint, Oscar Tshiebwe was phenomenal. No skill, but incredible rebounding, just kind of innate instinct for where the ball's going to be and how to get it. I thought Xavier Wheeler did way too much, but that might have been because he's looking around saying, is anybody else going to do anything?
Right.
You know, I looked at Keon Brooks and said, he's probably better than last year, but it's not a quantum leap. Lance Ware looks like the same guy as last year. Dont Allen couldn't get in the game. Ty Washington, I think I told you in a text, if I were him, I would have been in the weight room this morning saying, I got to get stronger and probably work on my shot selection. I think there was one time where I saw Calipari calling a play and, you know, signaling this and that and this and that, and one pass to Ty and he jacked it from 25. I don't think that was the play.
No.
So I think that he might need to, you know, kind of get reeled back into the offense. But I thought Kentucky showed competitiveness. They really... You know, they battled. At no point in time did I really think they were the better team, but they were in the game for 36 minutes or so.
Yeah. Kentucky fans, that's the argument is what you said there at the end. There is some good stuff, but in the end, Cal doesn't have the best players. And in the end, you can see if Tshiebwe goes out that he went, Jalen Duren and Kofi Coburn. Cal's actions spoke louder than his words, Pat, in the offseason, trying to get those guys to add something to the front court. So there's positive. Obviously, there's some negatives, but Kentucky fans are like, they're like happy that they competed, but there's a whole other side of the fan base that doesn't want to hear that, that lost to Duke, bent the knee to Duke, you just won 9 games, that needs to have the best players and wants to win these games. And that's kind of the argument right now in BBN land.
Yeah, well, I can see both sides of the argument, because you looked and Lee said, okay, we're going to be a hell of a lot better than last year, but are we talented enough to compete for the national championship? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you don't really make that decision based on one game, but you're playing a high-level opponent that had more talent than you did. There's going to be others that are going to have more talent. I think Gonzaga is going to have more talent. I think Kansas has more talent. I mean, geez Louise, Kansas looked awfully good, and that's without Jalen Wilson playing.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
You know, Memphis is going to be very intriguing.
Texas.
UCLA is really good. You know, Kentucky may fit into the top 10 somewhere, but we'll have to see. You know, people going to develop? You hope that they are. You hope that Ty Washington isn't in for a BJ Boston season where it just never really happens. But we got to see. That was not a very good debut for him. Damian Williams couldn't get on the floor.
Right.
So, you know, they've got some issues.
Pat Forty with us here on The Take. It's ESPN 680 105.7. I said this as it pertained to the entire team. Now, a guy like Spencer Rattler, and I'm getting to NIL here, Pat, okay? So just hang with me. We're a little bit of a long trek here. I don't know how much hate Spencer Rattler got for making all of the money in the offseason, because Oklahoma just moved in a freshman quarterback, and he's better, right? And they're good, and they're, top 10 and college, looking for the college football playoff and everything else. But I said, you know, Kentucky basketball, if they don't play well this year, specifically a guy who has all the NIL deals and tie, this could be the first group that kind of gets clubbed over the head for it. If they don't play well and they made all this money, fans don't want to hear it. And right now, after last season, Kentucky fans definitely do not want to hear it.
It was not a Porsche Gatorade sort of performance for the young man, you know? That's the thing. To whom much is given, much is expected. And so you're putting a lot of pressure on young guys, more pressure than they already have. And, you know, we've heard the Cal, you know, mantra for years. This is hard. They're not machines, blah, 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 blah. Well, now, okay, now they're paid professionals to a degree. And you're adding more expectation and probably less leniency when they don't perform well. We've seen in football, Spencer Rattler is a great example. He got two cars, and he's not worth either car. you know, it just... there is, I think, an added degree of pressure to 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds when all of a sudden you're a pro. Now, if you've been kind of viewing yourself that way forever, you know, like Amani Bates, I don't think there's more pressure for him. But even guys that were big-time recruits, all of a sudden it's a different realm. And somebody hands you the keys to a Porsche, and guess what else they hand you? You better be good. You better be really good. And so far, that's, you know, that one game in, there's a lot of improving to do.
And the best part is the fans know, and Kentucky fans know, and Louisville fans know, that you need the NIL deals. It's a double-edged sword. You got to be the leader. You got to lead if you're Kentucky basketball and have all your guys on billboards in Times Square and cryptocurrency with Tom Brady and Porsches and autograph signings. And like, you need to have that. You need to have walk-ons and end-of-the-bench guys being able to make some money in all of this. The flip side is we'll crush you, and that's what we do. That's what we do. Pat Forty with us. How do you think you're going to cover – because I would imagine some point here you're going to dive into this, the circus as Coach K goes through this final season.
Yeah, we were talking about that last night and again today. I mean, you know, there's going to be so much to do. It just, you know, it's such a massive topic, and his availability is intermittent at best. And, you know, there's already been so much written about him, so it's kind of like, what else is there? You know, so it's going to be a challenge to find new ways, different ways. And it'll be just—I think it'll be fascinating just to see the goodbye tour develop, you know, and just kind of how it goes. I mean, first of all, the team's going to be very good, which I think will allow him to deflect and say, you know, I'm focused on the team, which he should be. Mm-hmm. But you know, every single road game or neutral site game, there's going to be somebody wanting to hand him a plaque or a trinket of some kind. I'd like to know where they all go. Like, is there going to be a room at Cameron Indoor where they all get, you know, some manager is like, here, take this and go stuff it in the room or what? Because you know Kay doesn't want any of it, but that's just kind of the way this is going to go. It's going to be very, very it'll probably get really old by like February. It'll get old for Kay. It'll get old for all of us watching. But that's the way it's going to go.
Oh, Kentucky and Louisville fans, Pat, are done with it already. They've been complaining for a month about it at least. I mean, Kentucky fans were complaining about it.
Those two fans' bases would complain about anything about Duke. That just doesn't make much sense. I really don't understand that.
Well, here's the thing. I was the bad guy yesterday because I'm like, bleep it, Coach K is one of the best. He might be the best ever. Yeah. I'm backing Coach K. Can't we just honor the greatest? Can't we do that? But fans are tired of it, so that's the fight. I've decided to pick up the sword and fight on the behalf of Coach K. That's not something I thought I was going to ever do, but here we are, Pat.
Yeah, you know what? I'm with you because I think he does deserve the accolades.
There
I mean,
we go.
You can make an argument he's better than Wooden. I'm not sure I would. I would say probably Wooden was better, but it's close. I mean, you can have the argument, and how often do those guys come along? Oh, okay, like, you know, that's two in the last 70 years. So this is an incredibly uniquely powerful, successful guy in the sport. So, yeah, I'm sorry. You're going to hear a lot about it. Get used to it.
Pat Forty with us on ESPN 680 105.7. I know you didn't see the entire game of U of L, led by two at half to Southern, pulled away one by 12. It was too close for comfort. I mean, we know that. An odd starting lineup, Chris Mack out six games, that whole dynamic. I guess you have any opinion on Louisville, kind of a sleepy game last night at 9 o'clock, beating Southern by 12.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't like sleepy when you're starting a season. You want to see fire. You want to see intensity. And I'm not sure there was enough of that from what I saw and what I read, you know, that it was just, oh, it's late? Well, so what? It's your first game of the season. Well, you don't have your coach? Well, play to impress the guy who is coaching you, and you know that the head coach, when he comes back, is watching. The fans would like you to play hard. Yes. You know, I don't know whether it was just tentativeness because of all the uncertainty, the new parts, the different coach, all that sort of thing, or what, but, you know, I'd rather see a team with its hair on fire and making mistakes. And, you know, yeah, that game was closer, I think, than anybody wanted to be.
Pat Forty with us here on The Take. Just quickly, college football-wise, I tried to have this conversation. Obviously, Louisville loses the heartbreaking fashion. They just can't lose. Pat. They just can't give in, you know, at this point. They got to lose these heartbreaking games in heartbreaking ways, and Clemson was yet another one of those over the weekend. Still have not beat them in the ACC. I don't know if it's like, is it right to talk about Brohm? Is it bad taste? I don't know the way to ask this, but that is obviously one of the big talking points here. I know you obviously wrote about you know, Jeff Brohm had one of the, you know, the biggest win over the weekend. Now they're number 19 in the country there at Purdue. What's the etiquette here? One guy's got a job, but we're all looking at Brohm, but you know, Satterfield could win a couple games, and it's just kind of a mess right now. Like, no one knows what to think.
Yeah, I agree, really. You know, I mean, they certainly had their chances to beat Clemson. And you know, when the way it ended was just like,
it's unbelievable.
You know, I mean, like the throw that Malik Cunningham made, the throw and the catch to get them to the two, was one of the best plays I've seen this season from anybody.
And it was fourth down, Pat. It's fourth down. That's
it's
a fourth down.
Fourth down, and he's running full speed to the sideline, and the receiver is sprinting full speed with him, and he makes a contested catch. I mean, it was incredible. It was a phenomenal play, and then you can't get it in? It's like, oh, you know, and to me, that was kind of the Malik Cunningham experience. You know, he makes that play, he makes some other really fantastic plays, and then he slips and falls on the three on the last play, and you're like, oh, you know, it's just like he can be really good at times, and then he can just not quite be good enough. And that's kind of this whole Louisville season, really. You know, at times they look great.
It really
and
is.
They're just not good enough to win a lot of close games.
Well, I mean, it's the teasing. It's the leading by two touchdowns plus in the fourth quarter. It's the miraculous play by a beat-up quarterback who had left the game, who's back in the game, who got you to the two-yard line, and then you can't score. It's the teasing. At least with Bobby, you lost 62 to, you know, 23, right? And you knew it was over, and you were just betting the over-under or the spread, and, you know, we were beginning post-game shows at the middle part of the third quarter. We knew what was going on, but it's the teasing that's going on here that's killer. I don't know how much you followed this. Malik Cunningham's mother was asked by Ethan Moore. He did a 30-minute pregame show for us. If Malik would be back, and she's like, it's 50-50. And, you know, and Malik is the guy who's getting the NIL money, and he's the guy who's been a Warrior this season. I think he's a fan favorite, no doubt about that. Do you think he would be wanted by a contender of some kind in another conference? I'm trying to gauge what he would be at another place, I guess.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible. You know, he has an intriguing skill set. He's versatile. You know, he can run. He can throw. He's tough.
Played a ton.
He plays through getting hit, but I don't know. I don't know whether anybody that really has a high-powered passing attack and looks and says, yeah, that we're going to have that guy drop back 35 times in the pocket and throw. You know, I'm not sure he's somebody that elevates a team to a conference championship or a national contender. You know, I mean, Anthony Brown has done very well going from Boston College to Oregon, but he's also surrounded by a heck of a cast. I mean, they have got studs all over that team, and they've got studs on defense. And maybe if Malik Cunningham were going to a situation like that, he could do something similar. Because I don't think Anthony Brown's a phenomenal quarterback, but he's been good enough for Oregon. So, you know, I think it's one of those things. If you're really good, you bring him in, but you have somebody else there too, whether it's a player already on the team or another transfer or whatever.
What stood out? Last one. What stood out to you? Pat Forty with us. College football playoff rankings. I have to be totally transparent here. I didn't watch much of that. I don't have like basketball starts. I'm trying to find an opinion. I'm kind of, you know, tuning out of the Cincinnati stuff. I mean, that Tulsa quarterback almost killed me, Pat, over the weekend.
Inexplicable.
I've never seen a play. It's the worst play in the history of football. I mean, it is. It's the worst play in the history of football. There's your column. It's the worst play in the history of football. But they do move up a spot. In goes Ohio State. Fun stuff there. What stood out to you?
Yeah, it might be the worst play in the history of football.
It really is.
Unbelievable. What stood out to me, obviously, was Michigan going ahead of Michigan State and having lost the game head-to-head. And then Gary Barta, in his just inimitable fashion of sounding like an imbecile, you know, said, well, there was discussion last week that maybe Michigan was the more complete team. Right after 2 days after Michigan State had beaten them.
Just
so what
the
that
game.
Told me, here's what that told me, Andy, is they think the ref screwed Michigan. They're not going to say it. They're not going to come out and say, well, Michigan should have won, but the refs made some bad calls. But I think that was their interpretation of that game. If you watch them, you know, Michigan State win, and 2 days later you're actually debating putting Michigan still ahead of them, then you think something happened there. And so I think that was the carryover. And then you watch this game, all right, they lose by 11 points to an unranked Purdue team, and so then you make the move. But I still think head-to-head has to matter. And if the selection committee is now all of a sudden going to retroactively be the jury on officiating, that opens up a whole big can of worms.
Yeah, at some point, wins are wins and losses are losses. They actually do mean something. I know it's an odd thing, but they actually do.
Like, what are they trying to do all the time is compare peas to carrots.
Yeah.
Here's to the peas played each other, and the Michigan State pea beat the Michigan pea. So, you know, there's so few games where you get head-to-head, and here you have it, and then you disregard it.
Absolutely. Maybe Michigan State played some close games, you know, Indiana, some other places. That could be it as well. You going anywhere this weekend, or you just at home watching the games again?
Yep, I'll be at home watching.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of interesting. There's no great games, but I think a lot of interesting ones. And once again, some crazy stuff will happen.
Pat, appreciate the time. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much.
All right, Andy. Thank you.
All right, there we go. Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated, right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Great stuff there.
Yeah.
In about 25 minutes, Bobby V, hanging out in New York City, will join us. We'll get his thoughts on Kentucky. Kansas looking pretty good. Duke looking pretty good. No one cares
really
about
good.
Michigan State. They did play last night.
They
no
did.
One cares.
No, they got run.
Yeah, the storyline is that Kansas is really good.
Yeah, we don't care.
Really good. Yeah. Tom Izzo out there looking mad and angry, and he's a scoundrel, so good.
You don't need to worry about Tom. Worry about yourself.
No,
worry about some mid-major guards and 5'5" guards. Just worry about Ty Ty.
I'm worried about Ty Ty.
Don't worry about Tom Izzo.
I'm worried about Kentucky plenty.
Okay, you better be.
I can still say Michigan State sucks because they do.
Is Tom Izzo done?
I hope.
Jack, save that for your college basketball show.
Tomorrow, 7 p.m., right here at ESPN 680 105.7.
Is Tom Izzo done?
Is he done?
Is he done?
Get him out of here.
We'll probably replay a clip of that Pat Forty interview there, the first question. That was a good answer.
Texas says, how long until Damian Collins transfers? 2.5 months.
Yeah.
Texas says 40 at 418. You can't get it in. Mark that. We got that.
Oh, yeah. He had
some good moans also.
He did.
Texas says, I didn't know caller Emily was Italian.
Huh?
I think that might have to do with the witch, I think. Yeah.
Oh, the Italian grinder. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Got it. Yeah. I wasn't sure there for a second, but thank you for the clarification.
Let's take a break.
Yes.
On the other end, Mitchell Hannigan sent something to us last night that you would not watch.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
The Jack Harlow video.
Yeah, he sends all these Jack Harlow TikToks. And I keep telling him, I'm not watching.
Okay, well, we're going to make you watch one.
Oh, boy.
Okay, you're going to watch it, and you're going to narrate it.
Okay.
And we're going to do that.
Okay.
Diener hates RSNs, which, of course, everyone agrees with.
Yes.
We can dive into that. And Big Bad Stoops. You tough guy. Big Bad Stoops, let the SEC have it.
He did.
We'll explain that. Coming up next, it's The Take on a Wednesday. Ah, yes, our good friends at BJ Heating and Cooling, BJHeatCool.com, 812-283-7221. Any issues, of course, I say pop on the heat. It's like 70 degrees outside. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know what to do
with your thermostat.
I
don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But if you have any issues, it's BJ Heating and Cooling. From a small fix like mine or a full system replacement like Strebel's, they got you covered, and they got you covered 24/7, 365 for all of those emergencies. And whether it be your home or your business, they got you set up. Plus, we've been telling you for a couple years now about those Bryant mini splits. If you have that room coming up now in the winter that's going to be difficult to heat up, but you want to use that room, those Bryant mini splits are a quiet and efficient way to do just that. And BJ Heating and Cooling, your local factory authorized Bryant dealer. 812-283-7221. It's BJ Heating and Cooling, BJHeatCool.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
You and yo mama thought y'all hoes had a come-up truck out of here. Don't write my team.
And James Strebel.
You failed at gymnast. You a nobody. Me, blacked out, a laugh about this bit. Me bussing on your back.
on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
What is Zach doing today?
He's trying to kill us.
Is he trying to kill us?
It was the Bob Antonio Brown thing.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we know.
Thank you.
Well, because we were planning on having Bob on this segment, so that's why I had that rejoin.
Oh. God, it kills me every time. It never fails.
It really does.
It never fails. I love it.
Oh, goodness.
I saw Nick Curran today, and
I mean, what's interesting about that?
I don't know.
Nick Curran.
See Nick Curran, I just a little smile. Nick Curran.
Why?
Because I like Nick Curran.
No, you think he has goofy takes. You don't know anything.
He does.
You don't know anything. You've never heard him really much on the radio.
I have.
You never listen to a Bats game.
Yeah.
You don't listen to the Jeff Wall show.
No.
You don't listen to Louisville women's basketball on the radio.
No.
You don't know. You don't consume anything of Nick Curran.
Sunday morning hangover on occasion.
If it matches up with your schedule where you're taking Cal into a football game.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you'll pop it on for 15, 20 minutes.
Kentucky wins a big game.
You're unbelievable.
Then I'll turn it on to hear the reaction.
You just think Nick Curran has goofy takes. That's all it is.
Yeah, he gave my kids a hat.
There you go.
Yeah.
What, was it New Era?
No, it was a little
Well, Bats then
hat.
I want to hear. That's what I'm saying. Is it New Era? If it's not New Era. Okay, well, then it means nothing.
No.
I hate to tell you.
It's free.
Well, that's fine.
It's a free hat. Yeah,
it's fine. You want to stand up and come over here?
All right, yeah.
This is a Jack Harlow video.
That Mitch sent us last night.
Are you sure you didn't watch this?
I promise I didn't watch it. I don't click on Jack Harlow nonsense.
If you don't know, Strieble has this vendetta really for no reason on
he's
Jack
overrated.
Harlow. He believes that he's overrated, knowing nothing of his music. No, actually, you do. You bump your head to it whenever Jack uses it as rejoin music.
But he's not rapping on it. As long as it's just the beat, and I'm okay with that.
Jack Harlow.
But you hate the flute in the beat.
Yeah, the flute's lame.
Yet you still bop your head to the beat.
Dr. Dre never had a flute in his songs.
How much would it take for you to learn how to play the flute?
I have no musical talent whatsoever.
That doesn't matter. No,
I know
you don't.
I mean, I tried to play the flute. I tried to play the guitar when I was in eighth grade.
I got $200 guitars downstairs.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, if Kellen ever would, do you have a guitar?
No.
If Kellen ever wants to try a guitar,
I swear
to you, I think I have a guitar down
there.
Okay,
I had.
I think so.
Uncle Mike took me to buy one when I was in eighth grade because I wanted to be in a band.
There you go.
I took lessons for a month and I never took.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But Jack Harlow receives something from an audience member.
Okay.
And then does something with it that is a theme to our radio show here.
Okay, so you got a gift?
So Jack Harlow is doing something that adds to the show here,
okay?
This is not just a normal video.
Okay.
So we can play this a couple times.
Okay.
Okay, we're not going to play it over the air because it was music.
I'm sure it's music and maybe some language.
It's a visual thing.
Okay.
Okay?
So I don't have to hear this. I have to watch it.
No,
okay?
So I
see someone's hand reached out.
Okay,
to
Jack Harlow is on stage.
Okay.
Okay, so here I'm going to press.
It's very red.
I'm going to, yes, here we go.
All right, so he has, what is that? He has ladies' underwear that say Mr. Harlow. They're thought. Oh, get! He's so weird. Get him out of here.
There it is.
He is.
He is such
a weirdo. No. He's a strange person.
I mean, that's stranger.
You don't know what could happen.
You got to explain it to the people who don't know.
All right.
So go again. Here we go.
All right. So Jack Harlow gets a pair of ladies' thong underwear. He pulls them out. They say Mr. Harlow. He looks at the lady that gave them to him, and he puts them up to his nose.
He sniffed them. He did the sniff.
What a disgusting,
which Strieble
random stranger undergarments. He's weird, man. He's a weird dude. He's not like quirky weird or like fun weird or like endearing weird. He's just a weirdo. He's just a weirdo. I don't have time for this. That's unsanitary.
That's unsanitary. You got COVID from a cab driver.
I didn't get COVID from a cab
driver. Or an Uber driver.
I'm not smelling strangers' underwear, Andy. I may have gotten COVID as of millions of Americans across the country have. Someone comes up to you and hands you draws. And what's your first reaction? Ugh, I don't want these. Let me sniff them.
If I'm on stage, it's an attractive woman. I'm with Harlow on this one, 100%.
No, I'm not.
I could not
I don't
be
care
more,
how attractive she is. You don't know what she's doing.
How attractive is the woman?
You can't see her. It's just her hand.
Ah, disappointing.
It's like you don't know where she's been. You don't know what she has. You don't know any of that. And he's over there.
You only live once, Strieble.
Well, you know
what? You can't play it safe. You can't be conservative on everything.
I cannot.
Jack,
no,
what a haymaker. That's one of the best vetoes we've had in a good minute. What a veto.
He just does strange stuff.
Holy cow, what a veto from you.
And Mitch likes that. Mitch is like, wow, this is cool.
That's good shadow producing, actually.
That is good shadow producing by Mitch. And he knows I'm not going to watch it. So it was good that we stayed for air because I didn't. I don't. He sends me like one a week or one a month or whatever it is, Jack Hole videos, and he's like, here's your guy. And I'm like, I'm not watching it,
Texas says Strieble's wrong. Texas says I was neutral on Harlow after that. Mad respect.
Mad respect. Yes. I mean, that's very, yes. Strangers on her garments. You don't know where people go, man. I have a thing about that. I don't
that's
like
because
it.
You don't leave the house. You don't want to leave
the
house.
It's not only that. It's just unsanitary. You need you to don't let know what happened with that.
I didn't know you were much on sanitary conditions. That's what's surprising me right now. Yeah. Like you're into sanitation. This is a little bit new.
It's not that I'm into sanitation. It's just that I'm just – I don't know, man. Like human stuff. Like I don't.
It bothers me. Really?
Yes, it bothers me. I don't like it. I don't. It just doesn't. It's not my thing. Like I like my clothes and dealing with my clothes, and that's it. I don't want anybody else's stuff around me. I don't want it.
Well, that's how this started, because
yes,
you talked about doing your wife's laundry.
Yes.
People ask the question.
Yes.
You say, no, not. And that's the reason we put this up.
Understand,
the day after Kentucky loses and Louisville wins, we've talked about it for an hour and a half, but we had to do a little pit stop,
yeah,
okay?
We had to change things up a bit, and I'm glad we saved it for the show.
Texas says Strieble's repressed.
I'm not repressed.
Texas says Strieble doesn't know about pleasure.
I know plenty about that. But if you get your pleasure from that, that's pretty sad.
Texas says he used the word draws.
Yeah, that's what they were. They said Mr. Harlow on them. Mr. Harlow. He's just Jack. No offense to you, Jack Rose.
Boy, I thought I was Jack.
You are. You're a bigger Jack than Jack Harlow.
Can't read any of these.
Oh, I'm sure.
I really can't.
Yeah, I'm sure. This is just weird.
Texas says, Random Strangers Underpants was your eighth grade band name. Yes. Yes, it was. Texas says, I'm with you, Strieble. How about that?
At least one person out there agrees with me.
437-9680.
Yeah, thank you, Texter, whomever you are.
Jack, just take a look at the text line. I can't read any of these. I see them all, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they're. Yeah, I'm sure they're hot and heavy. I'm sure they're. I just don't like it.
Texas says Strieble's saying it's unsanitary, yet he crushes Bush Light.
Yeah, it's a drink. Like, you don't drink. What would you rather do?
But you're worried about health here. You're worried about catching something. You're worried about
something like catching something.
And you're pumping cheap beer. I mean, that's the point there. It's not apples to apples.
Okay, was this cheap beer on a crotch? Or up someone's rear end, Andy? No, it was not. It wasn't.
You know what the best part is? That Jack is so mad right now.
Yeah, because he's deviating from basketball talk.
He just wants to give his take on Miller Kopp.
He does.
And we got stuck in the mud on this. And he's nothing. His mic hasn't popped up.
I'm looking at the text line.
He doesn't want to see anything. I don't need to see the video. Like, he doesn't care.
He's like,
it's not in his wheelhouse at all.
He's like, I've been waiting an hour and 40 minutes to give my Miller Kopp takes, and we're talking about this.
We will get a Miller Kopp take to end the hour.
Okay.
In about 12 minutes, Jack. Jack will ride us off into the sunset, into the 5 o'clock hour, with his Miller Kopp take. If you're wondering, who's Miller Kopp? Good question.
Yeah.
You are a lucky person.
Yeah, he's a starter at Indiana. Well, you know. You never know anymore, Jack.
I can't battle that.
He's a starter at Indiana who last year played infamously for Northwestern
yes.
Basketball. Just quickly, I got to bring this up. Stoops today in his SEC teleconference, and I said I would not bring up Kentucky football. And
you're breaking your own rule.
And I break him on rule. You notice I didn't ask Pat Forty about
it. I noticed that. I didn't say anything, but I noticed you didn't ask about Kentucky.
Didn't ask him a thing.
Yeah.
Didn't ask him a thing.
Then we just moved on.
And that was on purpose. So you know what? I'm not going to bring it up. Never mind.
Okay. No. If Pat Forty wasn't like...
He's not turning in things to the SEC, you're really tough. That's it. That's it. We're done. I'm sorry. I didn't even want to do it.
Tough guy Stoops.
I didn't
want
to do
again.
It. He's so tough. Yeah. I'm done with you, SEC. Yeah, get a defensive back. I mean, get a safety.
Yeah, get one. I mean, good just God. One. Yeah, what, one
don't
would make a
don't
difference.
Lose to Heupel in that face of his. That face of Heupel. Don't lose to the face of Heupel.
No, do not.
And we'll be fine.
And he did. Embarrassing.
Are you still beaming from your time with Dan Issel this morning?
Yeah, I had.
Were you nervous?
No.
Yeah,
I was at first. When I got into the studio at about 9:35.
Okay.
And I walked in. The first thing I did is I looked towards your office.
So you were 25 minutes early for that show.
Yes.
Okay.
I was on time for this one.
Understandable. But we're just making fun of you.
I know.
So
that's
there,
fine.
Yeah.
I was there, and I looked to your office first because I wanted to chit-chat with you.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, he's not here, so I put the equipment in your office, and I looked over, and Dan Issel's in the conference room.
At that moment.
Yep, he's posted up. He's
prepping.
In the spot.
Yep. He's taking notes.
So you didn't know if Issel was there. You dropped the equipment off, and then you pivot to your left. And like a basketball angel,
yes,
is sitting there. One Dan Issel,
yes.
Okay,
and so I said we did a little show prep. He's like, "What do you want to talk about today?"
A little show prep on a Wednesday.
Yeah, we discussed what we wanted to talk about. Did a little stuff, and then Patty Ice rides in.
Oh boy,
and Patty Ice is just full of Louisville takes, and he barges in and he just starts talking about Louisville basketball and how regular it is.
Oh.
And Pat was like mad. He was like mad.
I heard all the takes.
He was mad about it.
I heard all the takes.
He goes into his office and he's like, "Come here, Strieble." And so I talked to Pat. I talked to Pat longer than I did Dan until the show started. But then I got into the studio and we just clicked. We just meshed.
Look at you. Look at this,
yeah,
Jack.
I was worried.
He's snapping his fingers and everything.
I was worried that there might be, like, lulls in the show, and there were no lulls.
Look at you.
So it went as well as it possibly could, so I was very happy. We had a good time. You were brought up multiple times, Andy.
Issel has... We thought it was
James
a joke.
Strieble. James, thank you for joining us
today.
Hey,
it's my pleasure, Dan. I'm so excited to be here right now with you. This is so much fun. Get to talk Kentucky Duke basketball the morning after with Dan Issel. You can't ask for anything better than that.
Yeah, well, we got 2 hours to go. We'll see how excited you are after that.
Oh, man. But he doesn't know my name. He really thought my name was Sweezy.
I think he did.
I thought it was a joke.
Well, he said it was a joke, but I don't know if I believe it.
Now, I don't know much about you other than you're a huge Kentucky fan.
Yes.
You teach, and you're on in the afternoon with, what's his name, Sweezy?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Sweezy?
Yeah, Andy Sweezy over there, yes. And now I'm on with Andy on the take.
So he goes at Sweeney a lot, too. Would you like to play a couple of those?
Oh, it's Sweeney.
I thought it was Sweezy.
Oh, no.
I thought you were kidding. No, I didn't play any correct. I thought you were joking.
You know, I called him Sweezy last week one time.
Yeah, I had a stroke.
You and Pratt didn't say a word.
Yeah, because I thought you were kidding.
So I'm on a text chain with some of our friends here, including Andy Sweeney, at 680.
And Sweeney.
Not
Sweezy. Not
Sweezy or Sweezy.
Sweezy. It's really funny.
Sweeney. Okay.
So right.
I'll try to remember that.
And I said.
Man. What's his first name?
Andy.
Issel knows nothing about me. I'm mad that now he may know. I want to be Sweezy.
You just wanted to be Sweezy?
I would just like to be Sweezy. In fact, I kind of want to change the name.
I was going to really learn his name, but after I found out that he thought Derrick Henry was a better running back than Jim Brown, I figured I didn't have to bother. I didn't have to bother with that.
He just drops haymakers left and right.
Texas says Strieble has only ever had one awkward pause.
Yeah. Just one.
Oh, man.
What?
Man, there's one in here. Jack, there's one in here that uses the words turkey baster.
Oh, man. I have an idea of what that is, what they want, what they're trying to say. But no, that's not how that happened. Okay?
I may have to have you just look at the text line.
I kind of want to. I'm very
what
curious.
What you've done.
Yeah.
So you were happy today. Everything
I was
good?
Happy. Everything went well. And yeah. It was nice.
We're good.
And look, I battled him a little bit on some things.
Okay.
I battled him on Cincinnati.
He wasn't too – he wasn't like – he wasn't ready to be too hot takey on Kentucky basketball game one.
No, he wasn't.
Because you didn't know going in exactly what that would look like.
Right. He wasn't hot takey. He did. He wanted to clarify that he does like Calipari. He went because I told him, I was like, look, you went after Cal a little bit about the Boehner stuff. And he's like, look, he's like, I did. I love Cal, but, and then he gave his reason.
I heard that.
Amen, Dan. Amen, Dan. Amen, Dan.
I mean, he smooched up, didn't he, today?
How many Kentucky
Jack,
fans get to do that?
He smooched up.
I
mean, I'm with you. Your argument is, hey, not everyone gets to smooch up on Issel.
I just
right.
got to tell Dan Issel how great he is. Isn't that wonderful? What a day.
It's a fun time.
What a day for me, Process.
I am loving this.
How
I am
many
so
Kentucky
happy
fans
you're so happy.
Get to do that. I'm
very excited for you.
I hit the lottery. I really am.
I am very excited
Boy,
for you.
It doesn't take much to make you happy.
I'm a simple man, Dan.
Yeah, you must be.
I drink Bush Light, Dan.
Texas says he sounds like Biden. Biden would think you're Sweezy.
What?
Texas says Big Rig is now Big Slurp.
That's fine. You can say whatever
Texas
you want.
Texas says Strebel's smile is literally hurting my ears. Texas says Scared Daddy didn't want to correct Issel.
I did. I said Sweeney.
Texas says, quote, the morning after with Dan Issel doesn't get much better.
Yeah.
Now, are you a golfer?
No.
You're not. Neither am I. See, we have a lot in common. Not outdoorsy.
Oh, yeah.
We don't really golf.
A lot in common
yeah,
there, Jack.
A lot of things.
A lot in common.
Those are the two.
I mean, the only things you have in common are you're human beings
yeah.
And you don't golf. That's
yeah,
it.
That's about it.
Like, there's not a third
and BBN.
Thing. Yeah, BBN, right? Like,
yeah.
There's literally, that's it. There's not another one.
When he started telling me about the houseboat that he purchased, then
I love a houseboat.
Then
How
I was
great
like,
would a houseboat be?
Then I was like, yeah, we're not that much alike. Because he's like, yeah, my houseboat had electricity and cable and a refrigerator and all these things.
Of course.
He's like, that's how I rough it.
And she'd give half of Texas.
Yeah. I like calling Baton Rouge. There's a Garth Brooks song that I like.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
It's a real up-tempo.
Yeah, I like up-tempo.
Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Calling Baton Rouge. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, pretty lady. That's a different song. That's a different song.
Jack, that's the worst. That right there is the worst radio we've done. It. I mean, that right there. That right there.
Yeah.
I could read it. Texas says Strebel should have said thank you for all that you've done, Mr. Issel.
Lone Star Belt Buckles.
Lone Star Belt Buckles.
See, I know that stuff, Process.
He smiles, I think, maybe every time you sing on the show. I love it when you and Mike
it's funny.
Sit back and sing
Mama,
your songs.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
I was going to bring up something with U of L, but it's not worth it at this point.
No, it's not worth it. No.
It's not worth it to break down Jared West. It's not.
Yeah, Jared
I'm sorry.
West, yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
437-9680.
Yeah.
Jack, before we go to break here, did you want to do this? Did you want to crush Miller?
Yes.
Miller Cobb's a guy who looks like an Indiana basketball player. He is an Indiana basketball player, but he looks traditionally like an Indiana basketball player.
Yes, he does.
And I don't know the reasons other than he sucks that Grossman doesn't like him. But Grossman, I thought, was going to have a stroke today screaming in the office about a guy named Miller Cobb who you probably have never seen play basketball. So, Jackie boy, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Look, here's the thing. All three local teams last season could not shoot the ball worth a damn. There was no ability to shoot the ball.
Right.
So all three teams entered the offseason of, okay, we got to modernize, try to get to 2021 in terms of you got to be able to shoot the ball. And what did Louisville and Kentucky both do? They brought in not one, not two, not three, but like five, six guys who are capable of hitting outside jump shots. Indiana is sitting there, and they had Parker Stewart and Miller Kopp. Those are the only two guys. And all I heard also was Miller Kopp's great. He can shoot the ball. He'll hit open threes. He'll do all this. And I'm sitting there looking like, I've watched this guy play at Northwestern for 3 years, and I haven't seen him be able to do that on a consistent basis. He was 32% from three last year. And he goes game one, and there's that aspect of it, and there's the aspect of Mike Woodson and the coaching staff doing the same damn thing Archie Miller and that staff did. Talk about, oh, Trace Jackson Davis can stretch the floor and shoot now. Race Thompson, he's going to be able to play on the perimeter.
I mean, you
all
get
these same guys.
But you bring Jackson Davis back, and you're selling him on that.
Yeah, and
that's
you know
the
what?
Sell
yeah.
job.
That's been a sell job now for 3 years,
that's
and it hasn't
it
happened. And
I
you want to know how you're many right. three-point attempts Trace Jackson Davis took last night? Zero. The same amount of threes he's taken his entire college career. You know what Ray Thompson did? He was 0-for-4 from the three-point line. Whoa. Miller Kopp only hit 1-3, and he only scored 3 points despite playing a large majority of the game. Parker Stewart, I'll give you that. He had a couple threes, but still, like, 6 points, whatever. But you did not bring in enough guys that could shoot the ball, and you didn't fix the guys that were already on the team. Rob Fantasy, I kept hearing, oh, he looked so much more confident last night. Yeah, he was 3 of 11 from the field, guys. Oh, just because he's shooting the ball more doesn't mean that's a good thing. Oh. He wasn't making shots. You gotta be able to make shots, and Indiana still does not have the pieces to shoot the ball. Now, I get it. It's one game. You can't way overreact to one game. It's a long season, but they did not show a good first step forward from what you were hoping. On top of it, they were also 60% from the free throw line. They missed a bleep ton of free throws.
Wow.
And they were not good from there either. So you look at the two big trends that Mike Woodson needs to figure out how to fix with Indiana basketball, the three-point shooting and the free throw shooting. Neither one did that last night over the course of 40 minutes. Indiana was like 4-24 or something from the three-point line. They shot more threes than they did in the Archie era, but that doesn't help if you can't make them. And Miller Kopp is just the poster boy of all of that because we have been sold that he's this great three-point shooter, and he didn't show it last year at Northwestern, and he didn't show it in Game 1 in Bloomington. And that's why maybe when you lose a guy like Jerome Hunter, who isn't great by any means, but is a wing three-point shooter who's actually capable of knocking down a shot, maybe you should bring in another wing instead of bringing in a seven-footer Michael Durr, who we still have never seen play.
Who?
Michael Durr. He's a transfer from South Florida. He's 7 feet tall, but no one's seen him play. And Indiana already has like four centers on the roster. It's like, why do you need another
one? Texture says, do any of the listeners care about IU? Go to Braycheck. That's the point!
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.